Hi everyone, it's David Wheeler at Wickham Wanderers and you're listening to the Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. Good to have your company this week. So much has happened since we last spoke. Well, goals mostly, in the league and in the cup. We'll reflect on that with Phil in a few moments' time. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield. We'll look ahead to Saturday's visit at Cambridge United. Touch briefly on Tuesday's game as well, which will be a bit special because we won't speak again between now and then. And Aston Villa are coming to Adams Park. Quite excited. Just to let you know, that's on the way. Plus, we'll hear from man of the moment, Berrily Lebala, who spoke to earlier today as well. More from the manager, as I say, as well. Also, a real Wickham Wanderers legend, former winger Len Worley, who'll be at the game on Saturday as part of a presentation with the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association. And we'll build up to the second qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup. Wickham Wanderers women are in action on Sunday. Do pop along to Burnham if you can, and back the chair girls there. We'll hear from Molly Dench, who signed towards the end of last season and is looking to feature prominently in this campaign as well. But as we say, let's kick off with our match briefing from Phil. And so much has happened, as I say, since we last spoke, and there's one thing on everyone's minds, and that is
goals. Isn't it wonderful? 5-3 on Tuesday night in the EFL Football Trophy. Brilliant game to watch from a goal scoring perspective. There's some questionable defending from both sides, to be honest. But certainly from Brighton, Hove Albion under-21s in that first half. And brilliant, though, for Berrily Lebala, who looked absolutely ravenous up front for goals. And, you know, to get four goals in one game, I think the first player to do so at Adams Park in the EFL era for Wickham Wanderers, which is a big milestone for him. But personally for him, you know, to hit the form that he is now, having had that injury in pre-season, which would have been a really frustrating time for him to get it. You know, fantastic. I mentioned the mistakes, but the first and the last goal, I think, were really, really top finishes. And he had to do quite a lot with them. So, I think, you know, four goals in one game, fantastic. Two of the goals especially, I thought, were top draw. And, a wonderful problem for Matt Bloomfield to have. He's got Dan Udo scoring goals. He's got Richard Kone scoring goals. Voxer, who's currently injured, but he scored goals before his injury as well. So selection headaches for the gaffer, but the best possible headaches for him. And it was good to speak to him after that goal fest on Tuesday.
Don't want to concede three at home, especially, but it's very important that we won the game, having just lost out at AFC Wimbledon. You know, we want to get through through to the next round of this tournament. So we had to win tonight, and it should have been probably more convincing and more comfortable throughout the night. But fair play to Brighton, got some good young players, play with loads of energy and intensity, as you expect from a group of young Premier League 2 players. So, yeah, it was an entertaining encounter.
And Berrily Lebala, first start of the season. He looked hungry on Saturday when he came off the bench, and he looked ravenous tonight, didn't he? Four goals.
he did, yeah. And another one-on-one, didn't he? And he could have had one or two more, but he did great, Bez. You know, he's a boy who plays full of energy, full of intensity. You know, we love him as a person as well. He's done great since he's come in. And obviously he can play all four positions across the front. He can play 10, 9. He can play either side as well. So, some good finishes from him. And I thought, you know, some of his goals come from real good discipline for us out of possession. Some turnover moments, which he was able to capitalise on. But, yeah, some good finishes. And I'm really pleased for him because he's had a couple of injuries with his hamstrings. You know, one just at the end of last season and then in pre-season again. So he's not played loads of football. So we have to be careful with him. But, yeah, some really encouraging moments for him tonight.
All of your strikers in the goals this season as well. That's a lovely problem for you to have.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, I think it's really important that we have a squad that's competitive and pushing each other forward. You know, the game is, as we've discussed before, really athletic. There's loads of games coming up and everyone needs to be ready to play and sharpen at it, you know. To have Bez now back in the fold for that. You know, we're hoping to welcome Fred into the mix at some point. Wills was very good again tonight, so yeah, some real good competition for places.
And Cameron Humphries and Aaron Morley getting starts as well. Is that to boost their sort of Wickham introduction almost?
Yeah, The thing with Cam's missed pre-season, so he's still kind of finding his way back to top form, although he's been very good already. There's still more to come from him. Aaron, again, has not played loads and loads of games, and he's not available next Tuesday in the game against Aston Villa, so it just felt that it was the right thing to try and get him to an hour or so, was always the plan, and get him off the pitch ahead of the weekend. So, yeah, that was the plan with those two. And just to keep integrating in what we're doing. Plus, you know, this competition's important to us, and we take it seriously, so it was always about making sure we had a competitive team, enough experience out there to go and win the game.
And a good introduction as well for Shamal George too.
Yeah, definitely. Shams, obviously, I've been aware of him, you know, at Colchester, know the people there. He spoke really highly of him and he did well up in Scotland, and he's here to add competition for that goalkeeper's jersey, and it's good for him. Good distribution, nice voice behind the back four. So Franco has obviously been very, very good recently and in possession of the shirt, but it's nice for Sham to get some experience with us as well.
Really good to hear from him, of course. And, you know, as you touched on and as he mentioned there as well, it's nice to have that strength in depth and that competition for places too.
Yeah. You know, what a lovely problem to have. I think, you know, the big problem would be if he's got all these strikers at his disposal and none of them are scoring, but they all are. So they'll all know as well that they've got to keep it up. Otherwise, there's someone banging on the door saying, I should be playing. And also as well, across the 90 minutes plus, whatever referees had on these days, even if you're starting on the bench, we've seen with the Gaffer that the changes are often made in the 50th minute or on 50 between 50 and 60 minutes. So there's still a huge chunk of the game to have an effect on as well. And, you know, with fresh legs, it means that someone can start the game and really go at it 100%, 110% for 60 minutes, knowing that that's when the plan change is coming. And then you've then got fresh legs to really go at it in those final stages as well. So from a defender's point of view, that could be a bit of a nightmare. But look, while they're all fit and firing, we should really enjoy this, definitely. And some of the football we've been playing as well has been excellent too. I think it's a really good sort of combination of what Wickham used to be. We haven't completely lost that identity of purpose. But, you know, we're certainly moving through the thirds in a different way. It's a lot more attractive to the eye. But then with the squad at our disposal, then I think we've seen the benefit of that. But you know, we've seen teams looking at Bolton losing 4-0 at home last week, you know, with their total football approach pretty much inside their own 6-yard box, which had some pretty catastrophic results last Saturday. So it's really good to see an evolved style, but a combination of our past and future together. It looks to be a good balance at the moment.
And also quite exciting when you think who's still to come back as well from injury, and still some new signings as well we haven't seen. And Brandon, of course.
Yeah. Brandon Hanlon is getting closer every week, which is great news. Fred Onyedimma is at the training ground. He's training with the squad, but hasn't had a pre-season amongst the lads. So he's got some catching up to do there. But what a player to bring into the squad when he's fully fit. Sam Vokes, we mentioned earlier as well, is, you know, two goals from him and both off the bench. So, some really great options for the Gaffer to have. And they're just the strikers we're talking about. I mean, if you look around the rest of the positions on the pitch as well, real strength in depth. Luke Leahy to come back as well. So, really, you know, it's a positive buzz around the place at the moment. And with the fixtures coming as they do, it's just as well we've got a big squad, because there seems to be a midweek game every week at the moment.
No, absolutely. Really interesting to see, you know, who gets selected for the games, because as we touched on, we've had the international break, but we don't seem to have a home game for a while, and then three come along at once.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, I think 12 months ago, a lot of the fans had a fairly indifferent opinion of it. Since then, we've obviously got to the final, got to Wembley, a good day out for everybody. But I think because of the size of the squad, it's such an important competition now for Wickham, because it gives an outlet for players that aren't necessarily getting regular minutes in the league, A, to keep fit, and B, to give themselves a platform to showcase the Gaffer why they perhaps should be playing in competitive games. So the longer we stay in this competition, I think the better. So it's imperative to get out of the group. And that win against Brighton really was a big step towards doing that. We've still got to play Crawley and get a result of some description against them too. So it's by no means a foregone conclusion that we are going to get out of the group, but we've given ourselves a very good chance of doing so. Cambridge in the league is a tantalising fixture, and great to have them here on a Saturday. They're normally played under the lights on a Tuesday night, and I think we've had a couple of rearranged games because of internationals and stuff. So it's nice to get them on a regular Saturday. They're a really good club, and a club we've had some really good battles with over the years. Historically, we tend to do well against them, although in recent times they have had a couple of occasions where they've pegged us back. They come into this one bottom of the table with their manager bemoaning the fine margins of football. At the moment, we're on the other side of that, which is great, and showing some good form and picking up some good results. So hopefully that can continue on Saturday, which can then give us a really good bounce into next Tuesday, where we take on Aston Villa, who, you know, on Tuesday night have just gone, we're just playing in the Champions League, which is great for them. They've got a local derby this weekend, and then I think they're playing Bayern Munich the week after us. So it's a busy set of fixtures for them too, which leads me to believe I think they may well make changes on Tuesday, which I think maybe gives us a glimmer of hope that we might be able to cause an upset and progress in the Carabao Cup, which would just be a wonderful thing for everyone concerned with the club.
Young boys 1 week, chair boys the next week.
Absolutely, and it certainly was men against boys on Tuesday from a Wigan point of view with the under-21s from Brighton, certainly in that first half. But look, Aston Villa is a big test for us, even if they do make changes. Of course, they're going to have wonderful strength and depth and et cetera, and players who want to be impressing Unai Emery to try and get in that Premier League team or Champions League team for Aston Villa. So, look, there'll be opportunities on the night, no doubt. The way that Wigan are sort of playing at the moment, the buzz around the place, the confidence that these performances are bringing, hopefully we can put on a really good show against Aston Villa in front of the TV cameras and maybe get an eye-catching kind of cup upset, which would be wonderful.
I remember speaking to you when the draw was made as well. A great opportunity for the club to really attract more people from the community who perhaps have not been to a game for a while or perhaps at all.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there's not that many teams in this country playing in the Champions League, and to have one of them coming down to take on Wickham in a competitive game is a really big coup. And I'm hoping it happens again this season, you know, in the FA Cup or perhaps even in the later rounds of the League Cup if we do beat Aston Villa. But regardless of the result, it's a great platform to get people down to Adams Park, as you say, perhaps for the first time or for first time in a long time, to see what it's all about now with Matt Bloomfield in charge and the football and the players that we have now. And hopefully they can enjoy a great evening under the lights and like we do love in this country, a cup upset. That would be the best thing ever. And then the trick would then be to keep them coming into the league games as we move into the winter.
And Saturday feels a great precursor for that as well. You know, another opportunity to get behind the team at home.
Yeah, it's a huge game this in terms of the league, because we've seen teams at the top of the table now setting off on a big pace. They appear to be the teams that have got huge budgets as well, which will come as no surprise. But look, Wickham are well placed. I think the opening of the season is now, if you look at it as a sample size, the first game away at Wrexham, the second game at home to Birmingham City. We can argue that we've got two tough fixtures out of the way straight away. And I think we were unlucky to come away from both of those games with no points. But since then, I think we've really picked up and shown what we're about. And I think we're getting stronger week on week. And people have to remember as well, the huge amount of change that went on around the club over the summer, the change of changing training ground. There was a large turnover of players, or largest turnover of players. But equally, this is the second season for Matt Bloomfield, and we're seeing the great strides that he's making as a coach, which is really exciting to see. So, yeah, I think things are looking up, but this is not an easy game on Saturday. The table at this stage of the season can lie, because it's only a few games in. Cambridge will obviously be disappointed that they're bottom and they haven't got a win yet. And I'm sure their manager will be busting a gut to try and fix that. But I'm sure Matt Bloomfield will be hoping that he'll be getting the 3 points on Saturday and compounding the misery of Gary Monk and Cambridge United.
And we'll hear more from the manager later in the show as well. But he'll say that, you know, it's a real kind of work in progress still. There's still a lot more to do. But it feels like an exciting time, doesn't it, with what he's building and what's going on at the club?
Yeah, it's great to see the smile on his face and, you know, the twinkle in his eye. There were some tough times last season, which I think actually all young managers and coaches have to go through. I think they have to experience it, unfortunately, to kind of really sort of give him that inner feel and resolve. He's a real grafter, is Matt Bloomfield, and that will come as no surprise to Wigan fans who've seen him as a player. He very much embodies that spirit as a manager too. He's come through a tough period and he's really sort of getting into his stride now, which is fantastic to see. And really exciting as well, because let's not forget, this is, you know, yes, he had that spell at Colchester, but this is his first real kind of chance to attack a job and look at it long term and implement his philosophy and his ideas and his beliefs. And we're starting to see that really come through now. And even during the dark times of last season, you know, there wasn't anyone that Wigan fans wanted to achieve more than Matt Bloomfield. So I think with the results and performances picking up and the fans' spirit as well, we feel like this could be a wave that could take us a long way.
Plenty of reasons for positivity and optimism. Thank you so much, Lee, for your time.
Always a pleasure, Colin.
Brilliant to speak to you. Phil, of course, you can hear Matt Bloomfield's post-match interview in full on Wanderers TV and on the website as well. I think I meant that Villa this week have played Young Boys, the Swiss team, and the Chair Boys next week. But Phil's reply of Wigan playing Young Boys, as in Brighton's under-21s, I think still worked. A great night for Barry Labala. Spoke to him earlier this afternoon as well. And after his injury, really pleased to be back with so many goals and not at all rusty.
Yeah, obviously wanted to come back strong and ready to go. So it was good to get out there against Northampton and then get the start in the midweek game. And obviously it went very well for myself.
Did you feel early on you might have a few goals in you, especially once you got the first?
Yeah, definitely. I guess as soon as you get the one, you're looking for the second and third. That's just my mentality as well. I want to score as much goals as I can. And especially you're in a game where you're getting chances and the team's creating a lot of chances. You want to get on the end of things. And I was delighted that I managed to get on the end of a few of the chances created.
And both yourself personally and the team could have had more.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, we could have had more. We kept the pressure on at the top with the way we was pressing, how we set up. We did predict like we'll get a lot of chances like that. So very pleased. But obviously on another day, we could score a few more goals as well.
And really nice to bounce back from the AFC Wimbledon defeat as well in the competition and really get points on the board and look like you can now progress from the group.
Yes, that was very important that we got the win. Like you said, we didn't manage to win the first game. So it was important that we got this win so that it gives us a good chance. So against Crawley, we can obviously go there and try and win again so we can go through to the next, out of the group stage and into the knockout stages.
I'm sure you weren't really thinking about it in these terms, but a great advert for fans as well who might have missed the game on Tuesday night and think, oh, we missed five goals. If we come along on Saturday to see the Cambridge game, it might happen again.
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, we want as much of our fans there supporting us. They give us that extra boost, that the energy when they're all there. So, yeah, definitely, I would advise the fans to be there because there's a lot of goals in the team. A lot of the attacking players are firing at the moment. And why not? We put a few more goals away on Saturday.
I'm sure you'll be keen to add to your tally as well, especially being the leading scorer now in the season so far.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, given the chance, obviously the gaffer will let us know the squad and the team that we'll be playing on the day. So I'll be ready, given the chance to play again and hopefully try and score some more goals or even set up a few goals for my teammates.
And I know you mentioned in your post-match interview, but it must be so great to have so many attacking players available and, you know, such strength in depth and competition for places, especially with the schedule coming up.
100%. It's very busy. There's a lot of games in the league and we're still in all the cup competitions and we're going to need our squad obviously rotating around, making sure that we're all fit and ready to go. So, and obviously, like I said, it helps every player as well to keep their standard highs, to keep pushing for more when you've got good competition to play against and to train against.
And both yourself and all the players must really go into Saturday's game with a lot of confidence on the back of recent results, both in the league and, of course, the Cup on Tuesday.
Yes, we definitely should have confidence. Our performances recently will be giving us confidence and we're on a bit of a momentum at the moment. So, yes, like we've got a lot of confidence to get out there and get another win and, keep climbing the table.
And I'm sure you won't be thinking about the Villa game till after Cambridge. But do you as players have that in the back of your mind? It's on the horizon and you must be so much looking forward to it.
Of course, I guess you always know what's coming next. But obviously the main focus is Cambridge. And the next game is always the most important game. The next Tuesday game, obviously, Aston Villa is going to be a great occasion playing against the Premier League side. And we'll be pushing to win that game as well and to have an upset in the Cup. But like I said, Cambridge is the most important game and that's what we need to focus on. And all the boys know that and we're training and preparing for that already.
And obviously getting your first start on Tuesday night, it would be great to see that replicated on Saturday or at least, you know, feature somehow in the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Of course, I've just came back from injury. So it depends what how the manager feels about it. And yeah, but either way, I'll be ready doing what I need to do on my end, and obviously if called upon, I'll be ready to go and try and put in a performance for the team.
Well, some brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much indeed for your time, and all the best for Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers show, we'll catch up with Molly Dench, a defender from Wycombe Wanderers Women, who are playing in the Women's FA Cup second qualifying round at the weekend. It's a home game at Burnham, so plenty of opportunity for you to get along and back the chair girls. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield as well, but first, with thanks to the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, something very special happening on Saturday at the Cambridge game. Actual Wycombe Wanderers legend Len Worley will be presenting with the son of Cliff Trott, Cliff's shirt and also a medal from the 1957 Amateur Cup final, which we proudly displayed at Monty's as well. And as you can imagine, Len had a very good relationship with Cliff.
Oh, we had a really good relationship. I'm not sure how many seasons Cliff was at the club, maybe two or three seasons, or maybe a bit more. And I played on the wing and he played the old-fashioned inside forward. And, we had a good relationship. He used to shout at me quite a lot. But he was sort of a rumbustious type player that actually sort of created havoc in the opposing defence, because he was always there pushing, shoving, trying to score goals, etc. You know, he was all action. Yeah, and a really nice guy too.
I guess that especially suited your style of play as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he gave me the ball, he could have a rest then, you see, while I went on and tried to take on the fullback two or three times and gave him a little bit of a rest, and then I gave the ball back to him.
I feel we should ask, why did he shout at you a lot?
Well, because I was a youngster. I mean, I came into the team and I was, just 17? And Cliffy must have been, 22, something of that sort. And he really wanted to encourage me, but he really wanted to keep me on my toes. And, it was fine. I didn't mind at all.
It feels like he had such a good influence on the team as well.
Sorry?
It feels like he had such a good influence on the team as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I say, he was sort of a rumbustious type player. And always a threat in towards goal and getting in amongst the opposite defenders. I should imagine the opposition, really didn't like playing against him, because he, ruffled their feathers almost constantly. But at the same time, really nice, quiet guy.
Are there any particular Cliff-related stories that really stand out for you?
No, there isn't really. No, it was just the way he played and the rollicking he used to give me. That was about the main things that sort of stand out, as it were.
I'm really nice that the club is able to kind of honour him with the shirt as well that's been found.
Yeah, that's good, yes, because I'm going down there on Saturday, and just a pity it wasn't a winner's medal, but there we are. We got there, got to Wembley, 90,000 people there. In front of, as I say, a packed house, and the usual great Wycombe support.
I'm sure it's an occasion that you never tire of talking about or remembering.
Well, that's true, and I think particularly when we after the game we went for a dinner at Cookham, and then we went into the town, and the crowds had gathered waiting for us to turn up, and we all made our way up onto the balcony of the town hall to acknowledge the crowd. I mean, and this was sort of 8, 9 o'clock at night, Terrific support Wycombe had then and still does have. It's great credit to the town.
It must be incredible to think as well that the club's been to Wembley a few times since, but that first time must have felt so special.
Yeah, well, I think it was, yeah. I mean, it was all very new to us, obviously. And also, playing at Wembley was totally unique. I think, ideally, you need to play there at least twice. First time to get used to it, and the second time to actually enjoy it, because it's so different to anything else that you encounter.
Because, well, I imagine obviously the atmosphere, but also the pitch is different dimensions, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. The pitch is much larger. The grass is much longer. In fact, I made a mistake because I wasn't quite sure what boots to wear because it was sort of a cloudy day and a bit damp, and I preferred to play with the rubber boots. So I thought, well, I'll put them on and see how it goes. But it was the wrong thing to do because they just didn't hold me up properly. So at halftime, I changed back into studs, and I felt so much better because I didn't realise quite how sort of spongy and how giving the Wembley turf was.
And you were used to playing on a slope of Lokes Park, of course.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'd developed one leg longer than the other, and that was a bit difficult to get used to.
And what do you remember of the build-up of that game as well and that day?
Well, the unfortunate thing was that I was doing national service at the time, so I therefore didn't get involved with all the build-up as the other players because I was stuck in barracks in London. So I just sort of virtually got off to play the match and then went back to barracks the following week. Yeah, because in those days, you know, we had to do national service.
That must have been quite strange for you to have had that unusual preparation.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, it wasn't ideal by any means. You know, I'd rather have been involved, you know, with the team for the whole of the week. But there we are. It wasn't possible, but that was it. And the only other fortunate thing, of course, was that we didn't actually play particularly well that day. I think that was a disappointment. I think we reached our peak when we beat Casuals at Highbury in the semi-final. I think that was a sort of highlight. And then after that, in those days, it was about a 4 to 5 week gap before you actually played the final. And I think in that period, I don't know, we lost form, I think, and it really didn't produce what we should have done at Wembley.
And Bishop Auckland were a bit of a bogey team, of course.
Yeah, they beat us in the semi-final of the year before.
No, exactly. So it must have been, that might maybe in the back of your minds, I guess.
Not particularly. Obviously, you know, you want to get revenge. But you equally knew that Bishop Auckland were, well, the top team in the north of England. So we knew it would be a tough match. But, we obviously would like to have won, but just wasn't our day.
And even today you hear people say that they were at that game and they remember it and what it means to the town and to the club as well.
Yeah, I suppose it was at that time particularly. You know, what we're talking 1957, aren't we? Special day for the club, special day for the supporters, special day for the town. Yeah, very much so.
It does sound like quite a long time ago when you put it like that, doesn't it?
It was that long time ago.
Everything was in black and white.
Here am I, 87, talking about all those years back. Oh, dear.
Although, in a way, does it feel like still quite fresh in your mind?
Yeah, it does, you know, particularly if I sort of look back on, you know, those photographs and what have you. But, you know, all things come to an end, and I've just got to feel proud and privileged, really, to play for a great club like Wickham. I mean, they are a really great club, and I enjoyed, you know, every minute of my 15 years with them.
It's an incredible kind of record that you've had as well, and you know, you're literally seen as a legend of the club, but you couldn't have imagined how, you know, things have changed in terms of the club, but also the game and, you know, the training facilities now, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally different. Much more professional now than it was with us. We used to just have training twice a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays. And then meet for match days. But no, nowadays, as I say, they're full-time, getting well paid. We only got £2.50 a match.
In those days, I'm sure that was a lot of money.
Well, it was. It was worth about £10, I suppose. But also, we were able to claim expenses as well. So I used to claim 1 and 6 to come over from Chalfont St Peter over to Wickham.
And as I say, you kind of imagine how the club's grown and, you know, got promoted to the Championship even.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's fantastic. It just shows, you know, what a well-run club it is, how well they've been supported, and, you know, they deserve to be where they are.
And 30 yeah. years in the Football League as well, which again must have been unimaginable when you were playing.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I was playing, it was basically only the sort of Division 1 and Division 2. And that was it. I mean, things have changed totally in that time. But having said that, Wickham have kept going and kept going very well.
And it really feels, doesn't it, like each decade there's been something special happening at the club or special yeah. players as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you just got to look at the number of times they've actually been to Wembley over the last few years. And that's a credit to the club. Yeah, very much so.
Did you feel that when you were there as well? Did it feel like a special time to be playing for them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a chance, a very good chance, to sign pro for Tottenham. And I think I probably would have done had I not been playing for a club like Wickham and also playing from a country as well. I think if that circumstance had been different, I might, probably well have would have turned pro. But I didn't. And I came back and, as I said, played 15 years for Wickham.
And extremely proud to have represented England, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, it's a very proud moment when you do. And, you know, to get the cap and, yeah, it's sits, a few of them sit nicely in my trophy cabinet at home. And from time to time, I go and have a look and sort of try and make me feel better, make myself feel better.
Incredible yeah. memories to have been through that and to experience that as well with the, you know, the group of players that you did.
Yeah, that's true. And what a really superb bunch of lads they were. You know, people like Jackie Tomlin, for example. You know, he was at the club when I first went there as a 17-year-old. And dear Jackie, you know, put his arm around me, looked after me and made sure I was, you know, happy and relaxed about being at the club. Yeah, Jackie Tomlin, the Truett brothers, you know, really, really, really nice, genuine gentlemen. Do you know, you never heard a swear word in the dressing room?
Really?
No, never heard a swear word. And that just shows you the sort of calibre of the sort of guys that were playing there. You know, the Mike Wickses, Barry Darvels, you know, Paul Bates, you know, such genuine guys. And when you're with a group of guys like that, it's very difficult to replicate it anywhere else.
I was going to say, football seems so special like that, doesn't it? You couldn't imagine if you were, I often give the example of an accountant, for example, you couldn't imagine people meeting up in years in the future and saying, oh, do you remember those great bits of accounts that we did?
Absolutely. Yeah, but we are, again, we're lucky to have people like Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels and John Maskell running the Ex-Players Association. And they're the guys that have kept it going. And all credit to them. And we just sort of turn up on the various occasions that they organise.
No, absolutely. Was it especially nice in a way that you weren't professional? Because there's a certain, you know, sort of rusticness to being amateur, I guess, and to combining that with your day job as well.
Well, I suppose because I was a qualified surveyor and I ran my own business, I suppose, and also, of course, at that time, the maximum wage for a professional footballer was £20 a week. Well, that wasn't a great deal even then. And I never felt that I wanted to sort of take the risk of turning pro when I was obviously playing for a club like Wickham and obviously building my own business. So I just stuck with Wickham, which I've been very happy to do so. And 15 years is quite a good spell with one club.
No, absolutely. And yeah. I imagine as well, being a qualified surveyor would have come in quite useful on a sloping pitch.
Well, measuring the angles. Yeah, there was an 11-foot slope, actually, one side to the other.
And being a winger as well, that would have been useful for angles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing being a winger, and obviously you're playing close to the supporters. And, you know, I can't ever remember getting any abuse from any supporter at any time. Now, that's something to say, isn't it, really?
No, absolutely. You must have had such a great relationship with the fans.
Yeah, I think I must have done. Yeah, I think I probably did, actually. You know, but I think my whole premise was to try to entertain, you know, to take on a fullback and maybe we'll take him on again, make him look a bit silly, you know, just to, you know, try and be an entertainer as well as obviously working for my team.
That's the thing about wingers, isn't it? I think a lot of youngsters especially look up to them because for that very reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I looked up to Stanley Matthews. I mean, he was England winger and played for Blackpool. In fact, I met him a couple of times as well. And I said, you know, I've modelled my game on you. And he's quite, well, chuffed to hear me say that. And they used to actually call me the amateur Stanley Matthews. And I took that as a big privilege.
I was going to say, that's quite a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Did you consider other positions, or were you always leaning towards that wing?
Right from school, right from when I was five, I remember playing at my primary school, and I captained the school team against local schools, and I always played number seven, all the way through. Staggered, isn't it?
No, very much so.
Yeah.
You didn't fancy going in goal. You've got to be a certain type of person to do that, haven't you?
Yeah. No, I wasn't quite tall enough to go in goal. That didn't appeal to me either. You know, I enjoyed dribbling and obviously scoring goals. And yeah, particularly I enjoyed dribbling, which I honestly don't see enough of it these days, where wingers can take fullbacks on and, you know, create a bit of excitement in the crowd. But I used to love that. So I was a bit of a show-off, really.
Yes, I'm sure many supporters might think that too. But also, I think really impressed with your work ethic as well at the time. I'm sure that's what won a lot of admiration from supporters.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I always went and gave 100%. Yeah, I couldn't go out, you know, and just, you know, play it by ear or not really try. I mean, no, I gave it 100%. And after football, I played tennis at quite a good level, and I'd give 100% to that as well. It's just the way I am, I suppose.
I was going to say, it must have been a great grounding for your kind of later life as well.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's just given me super memories. And also, I think it gives you a discipline in life as well, you know? When you're playing at a good level, you know, the only way you're going to succeed is to look after yourself, be careful with what you eat, you know, how you live, etc., etc. And I think I've done that all my life. That's probably the reason why I'm still running around at 87.
Absolutely. And obviously fans are so, you know, appreciative of what you've done for the club and great to have, you know, your name linked with such great achievements that you have done.
Well, that is a privilege, you know. I mean, yeah, I don't know what my, I really don't know what the fans think, but if they look at me in that sort of light, you know, that's great. Yeah.
And you still enjoy watching the team today, of course.
I go down there, three or four times a year. I'm going down next Saturday because, as you said earlier, the Cliff Trot shirt presentation. So, I still go down there. I'm not a great watcher because I always feel I want to be out there. But, yeah, I do go down, do support them. And, of course, the ex-players have got a good organisation going, and we meet for dinners and we meet for bowls days and golf days and things like that. So that is another unique thing about the club, to have an ex-players organisation that is run well.
And really nice to not only share your memories, but other generations of players as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's difficult to know how the future's going to go because nowadays the players seem to come from all over the country. And when I played, nearly everybody came within a sort of 20, 30-mile radius. You know, the furthest one way would be guys from Oxford. Perhaps the other way would be guys from Slough. and then the other way perhaps from Watford. So, I mean, it's a fairly close-knit unit, really.
And you don't get too many players staying for 15 years either.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose when I look back, I think, well, 15 years is quite a long time, isn't it, with a club? And luckily not to get... Well, I did get injured. I had a broken leg, but that was in the army there. But I managed to get over that and come back and play.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
That's all right, Colin. That's fine.
Real privilege to speak to Len Worley, and also grateful to him for giving the word rumbustious. It's debut on the show, not only once, but mentioning it twice as well. Must try and use that in future weeks.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderer show. Still to come, we'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield. We turn our attention now, though, to the women's team. On Sunday, new signing Kayla Potter had a debut to remember for Wycombe Wanderers women, scoring and providing an assist in their impressive 2-2 draw with Ascot United at the 1878 Stadium. The visitors have won both their opening games with emphatic scorelines and led twice in the fixture, only for Jess Watkins' first-half strike and Potter's second-half effort to deny them the victory. The Czech girls are in FA Cup action on Sunday, taking on Milton United in the second qualifying round, also at Burnham, and yet to make an appearance this season, but someone who signed towards the end of the previous campaign is Molly Dench, and I've been speaking to her.
I was grateful and fortunate enough to get minutes in like a few games near the end, which was nice as well, so it'll be good to start this season again afresh.
So what were your first impressions when you arrived?
The girls are really lovely and welcoming. I instantly hit off with like a few players and have made like some good connections there. I liked Carl's management style and the structure of everything, and I was just overall like really pleased with how the club was.
And hopefully you're well now as well, because you missed a lot of time because of your health scare as well.
I'm all healthy now, looking ready to just want to just try start afresh this season.
Fantastic. And have you been able to use your kind of experience from playing at different clubs and at different levels, and really that'll really help you going into this season as well?
I have. I always like to go into like new clubs and stuff like that with like a professional mindset. Unfortunately, this pre-season I've missed out quite a lot due to my work and stuff like that, but I'm hoping to start getting back into training and stuff like that, trying to move some of my shifts around so I can get back in with the squad again, training and just being around the girls.
It must be fantastic as well, because you know everyone's saying that you know they've been in this division a long time, and it must be brilliant to be able to contribute in helping to get promotion this season.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think that's everyone's plan, to go forward this season and try to push for promotion. I mean, I think anyone would be silly not to have that mindset, as that's everyone's target really, isn't it?
No, of course. And in your position as well, you'll be focusing on not conceding too many goals as well for the team.
Yeah, definitely. I want to try stop goals from going in and stop attackers coming at us, but also hopefully I can help also in an attacking sense and try set some assists up and contribute to counter-attacking and stuff like that.
No, that'd be fantastic, because I know Carl was saying that something that he's prioritising for this season is an increase in creativity and attacking style of play, and it must be great to be able to contribute with that, as you say, sort of building from the back, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I'm excited once I do get back in around training and stuff like that and get some minutes. I'm excited to help contribute and, be a part of the success of the team.
What have you made of the early start to the season so far?
Yeah, it's been good. Again, like I say, I've not been around because of work, but I've been, in the group chats and stuff like that, having a look about, and, we're doing quite well at the start of the season already. I know the girls put up a good fight against Ascot, considering, they were the top of the league last season, and we played well against them, which is, a good sign, ready for us to go in for the rest of the season, that we're here to prove a point, and that we're not going to take no rubbish from anyone, and we're going to go out and, give it our best.
I'm really excited in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup as well. That must be a competition that, the whole team, including yourself, hopefully, will be really keen to progress in.
Yeah, everyone, I think, gets excited when it comes to the Cup games. Everyone wants to make sure they're a part of it, and, that's the best thing, because you can play against people from all tiers and stuff like that if you progress well through. And yeah, our hopes are to progress far in the cup and yeah, hopefully win it.
Because you mentioned about working, it must be quite a challenge to be able to balance, you know, kind of your working life and your downtime and just, you know, with training and games as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm an emergency worker, so I work all random shift hours. Sometimes I try to get to training during work and hope I don't get a job. Sometimes I can't make it, or there's other times where I've worked a 13-hour shift and I go straight into training. You know, run about for 2 hours and then get home and try have a little wind down before I go back to work again tomorrow, the next day, and repeat the process. So it's hard, but I wouldn't change it. So
is football a real release for you? You can kind of, it's a great way to unwind and to not think about work as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, no matter how tired I am from work and how much of a struggle it is to get myself down there, even though I'm tired, as soon as I step on that pitch, it's just an instant release and just a like a complete sense of like freedom, I feel, because that's my time of creativity and my time to just be me and, you know, wind down and have no worries about anything and just get away from everything and everyone.
No, absolutely. And do you set yourself kind of personal goals or things you'd like to achieve this season as well as, you know, collectively with the team?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of my main things is to try and get down to football more around work and stuff like that, and try to be a lot more present, as it does bring me great enjoyment being around in training. And then as well on top of that, like as a team sense, I want to be able to be in and around and help progress the girls and be a part of everything and, you know, help create such a successful season.
And really nice as well for younger players to look up to you and what you've achieved, and, you know, other teams that you've played at different levels as well, and really learn from your experience, and nice for you to be able to pass that on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always open to, you know, if anyone's got any questions or anything like that, or I like to help people around me and try to be constructive with, like, pointers and stuff like that.
And do you feel like it's a really exciting time to be involved in women's football? You must have seen the sport grow so much in just the comparatively short time you've been involved.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, even from when I was a kid, like, I was going and watching England games and there was about 30 people in the stadium. It was empty. And then now you look at the England players playing and, you know, the stadiums are getting packed out, and it's just amazing to see the women's football progressing like it is. And that's such a short space of time where it has progressed, so it's only going to get more exciting, and the opportunities are only going to get better for, you know, young girls coming into the sport. And I'm excited for, if I, you know, the future for, if I have a little girl and stuff like that, for her to be able to take part. And yeah, I'm excited to see where the women's game can go.
Well, wish you all the best for the coming season. Look forward to seeing more of you on the pitch very soon.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Brilliant chatting to Molly Dench. Look out for her in the Wycombe Wanderers first team very, very soon, I'm sure, and we'll continue to back the Chair Girls here on Wycombe Sound. They're in cup action this weekend, and the men's team, of course, were in EFL Trophy action and are playing in a rather big cup game next Tuesday as well, and spoke to the manager a little earlier on today, who some of those players who played on Tuesday might be forcing their way into his plans for Saturday.
Yeah, I think that there were some really good performances individually. It was obviously the one that stands out is obviously great to see Bez back on the pitch starting a game. I think that he gives us a real intelligence and intensity with the press from the top of the pitch. And he's obviously got goals in him as well, which he showed the other night. So that was great for him. You know, Sads missed out last Saturday at Northampton, but responded in the right manner on Tuesday night and played very well. You know, more minutes for Cam and for Aaron Morley to get used to the way we're trying to play and get them up to speed after Cam missed pre-season. And Aaron, you know, hasn't played as many minutes recently at Bolton as what he'd like to do. So just loads of those little opportunities. Have a look at Alex Hartridge again as left fullback. Caleb Taylor got some good minutes at centre-half. So just all in all, I felt like it was a really positive evening in terms of the minutes that we were able to give to players and obviously the result too.
So you hear people, don't you, talk about a managerial selection headache. How would you describe the level of your discomfort in your head this week?
Yeah, fairly high, which is good. It's a better headache than some others that I've had in the 2 years of being a manager or head coach at Colchester. So, yeah, it's a nice thing to have players in form and to have players, with a high level of competition for places is obviously what you want as a manager. So it adds to the headaches, but it's a nice place to be when you've got people banging on the door wanting to play.
And as you said after the game on Tuesday, so pleasing for Benz to come back with so many goals as well after missing the first half of the first part of the season.
Yeah, you know, he missed the end of last season as well with an injury, which was disappointing for him. You know, someone we think extremely highly of. He always comes in with a bounce in his step. He's always got a smile on his face, and when it comes down to work, he's very, very serious about that. So yeah, we're obviously really pleased for him. It was four good finishes, and he had a 1-on-1 that he maybe could have even gone and got a fifth, but certainly a very, very positive night for him.
And just with the goals generally so far this season, one of the league's top scorers with 10 in League One.
Yeah, something we want to continue. I think that, you know, over the years we've had some good spells of scoring goals here, and we've had some spells of finding it slightly tougher. We felt that last season we underperformed our XG, which we wanted to improve going over the summer, and to get a full pre-season into Richard Kone, to be able to recruit Dan Udo, who always, you know, overperformed his XG at Shrewsbury, always hits the target, well, more often than not, hits the target with his shooting, you know, and you've still got, obviously, Bears from January. So we felt like we wanted to recruit, to add to that group at the top of the pitch. Obviously, not forgetting Vokes, unfortunately, out of his injury at the moment. But we wanted to add competition for places because the game is that athletic and intense now that, you know, it's very rare that those forward players play 90 minutes too often. It's more rotating those places so you can retain the intensity at the top of the pitch, which is what we wanted to go after.
And obviously, of course, the number in the against column slightly higher than you'd like, I'd imagine, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit the nail on the head, mate. It's too high. And we need to start being tougher in those areas. But we want to play with a certain style. We want to play with a certain philosophy. And we want to stop conceding so many goals. But we're certainly pleased with the amount we're creating. And with that becomes being slightly more open in your shape at times. But we need to find ways to correct that because at the moment we're conceding too many.
And obviously Cambridge visiting on Saturday. And does it feel they're perhaps a more dangerous team because they're without a win yet and they'll be perhaps especially keen to get one?
Yeah, that's exactly that. Very, very dangerous team. We'll be extremely eager to get the first win and to beat us. So, yeah, very, very dangerous opponent. You know, Gary's got them playing with a real distinct pattern and philosophy and style, and yeah, going to be an extremely dangerous and tough opponent. We have to be ready for the game because every game in League One is extremely tough and close fought, and we have to be ready on Saturday afternoon.
And a great opportunity for supporters as well who may have missed, you know, Tuesday night's game in person and thought, oh, the home team scored five goals. Perhaps we'll see many more on Saturday as well.
Yeah, and we've been away, haven't we? You know, more often than not this season, we've been on the road. So it's nice to be back at home. It's nice to be back in front of our supporters. And I really hope that as many as possible are able to come and cheer us on. And I really, really hope that the guys that come and watch us are able to enjoy some goals and enjoy some, you know, some of the play that we're trying to do at the moment. So, yeah, really, really hopeful that we can turn up and perform. But it's going to be tough. Make no mistake about that. But we have to be ready to run and we have to be ready to compete, which is the basis of any decent performance.
As you say, not been at home for a while, but great to have these three home games in succession. And I'm sure, you know, the focus won't be on Tuesday night until after to Cambridge. But great for supporters, perhaps, who perhaps haven't been to see the team for a while or perhaps at all. And knowing that Villa are coming on Tuesday, and this will be a great opportunity to see, you know, their hometown team really, really test themselves against a team who've been in the Champions League.
Yeah, well, all it has done is it's been nice to create a little bit of interest around that game. So, listen, we're not going to be able to give that any focus at all until after Saturday evening. But it has been nice to have some interest created around the town and around the local area because these games don't come around very often. So I really, really hope that, you know, our local supporters are really looking forward to it, and we hope they'll embrace the occasion as much as we hope our players will as well.
And nice for you, of course, as well, because you probably played in obviously against, you know, big teams as well and know what it means, and especially on a Tuesday night under the lights as well.
Yeah, we've had some big ones, haven't we? We've had obviously, the one that stands out is the Chelsea game, but we've had Villa twice here in cup competitions. We've been really fortunate over the years to enjoy some of these occasions. Spurs as well, a couple of times, once at White Hart Lane, once at home. So, They don't come around too often, so when they do, you have to make the most of every moment of them. And whilst we, you know, truly respect the opponent, because, you know, Champions League opposition, top Premier League players, European players, and we have to dream big as well. So when it comes around, we'll be looking forward to embracing that.
And obviously there's a tiny gap with the international break, but it really feels like that the team's starting to build an unbeaten run at the moment, and you'll be keen to continue that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hate losing. You know that, Colin. I hate losing. It doesn't sit well all weekend. And, you know, so I'm here to try and get results. I'm here to try and evolve the team and try and to move the team forward. And that's my job. And I'm trying to do it the best I possibly can. And we have to keep trying to put one foot in the other and build momentum and moving the place forward. So, yeah, look, there's loads of work to go, mate. We've made a couple of promising signs recently, but you know, there's loads and loads of work to go. So we have to keep being hungry for more.
Real pleasure to chat to you, Matt Bloomfield. We wish the Champ Boys all the luck, of course, at home to Cambridge on Saturday, if you're going. If you're not, the whole match live here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well, of course. The Chair Girls are at home at Burnham in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup on Sunday against Milton. Do get yourself along there and back them, if at all possible. And then, of course, on Tuesday evening, it's the visit of Aston Villa, Premier League and Champions League Aston Villa, who will be playing in the third round of the Carabao Cup, or the EFL Cup, if you prefer. So three brilliant opportunities to back the club at home in the coming days. Join us next week for episode 8. I thought you said we're not counting. We're not counting. next week is where we'll try and use the word rumbustious more as well, here on Wickham Sound. Have a great week.